It's Marketplace Tech for Friday, May 26th, 2017. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. The robots are coming, and a lot of us are asking, will they take our jobs? The standard line is that they already have, and it's only going to get worse. But a new report from the nonprofit Economic Policy Institute analyzed job loss numbers based on data from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. And it says that while trade with China may have taken a lot of jobs out of the U.S., the effects of automation are actually a little overrated. Lawrence Michel is president of the Economic Policy Institute. He's also an economist and one of the authors of this report. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with your sort of top line conclusions. What did you find in this report that's maybe a little surprising to people?
We find that, in fact, all the evidence of disruption from automation that has not been present. We don't see people have to switch occupations. We don't see job loss accelerating, except for during the Great Recession.
Can you give us some examples of industries that have seen this effect?
Imagine the example of agriculture. We used to have 80% of the workforce in agriculture 150 years ago, and now it's very few. But the fact is that automation came in, and it lowered the price of food costs. Now, people didn't, when they buy food, they're still getting as much or more food than they used to, but they have money that they now spend on other parts of their budget.
Is there still someone somewhere who has lost their job? And what do we say to that?
Absolutely. Automation definitely will force certain people to lose their jobs. Obviously, we need a safety net that will help them. We obviously need education and training to help them. But I think the biggest thing we need is to make sure that there are good jobs at high wages for them to transition to. We saw over the last few decades, manufacturing workers lose their jobs, and all the education and training didn't really help them because we were not creating good jobs for them to go to. We have to go back to making sure that we are creating good jobs at living wages.
Recently, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin got some heat for saying that we're 50 to 100 years away from robots taking jobs. And he walked back some of that statement this week. But does your research suggest that the reality is closer to his assessment?
You know, I don't think anyone really knows the scale of automation in the future and specifically the pace of it. I say I'd rather worry about today's crisis and the fact that workers haven't seen wage increases. I don't see displacing concern about that to worry about a robot apocalypse 10 to 20 years from now.
Lawrence Michel is president of the Economic Policy Institute. Lawrence, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
There are, of course, conflicting predictions about the impact that job automation has had or will have. Our colleagues at the Marketplace Morning Report did some in-depth reporting on this topic with a series called Robot Proof Jobs. Find that at marketplace.org or wherever you like to get your podcasts. It's Silicon Tally time. Our guest today is Rachel Metz, a senior editor at the MIT Technology Review. Rachel, are you ready to play this game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am so ready.
My first number for you is 70% of transactions.
Is this the amount of transactions that are fake when people buy things online?
Luckily, I don't think so. It's almost worse. It's the percentage of credit and debit card transactions in the U.S. that Google has access to. Google can actually see through its undisclosed partner companies. Google made this announcement this week that it's using these records of these 70% of transactions to prove that its ads are actually getting people to buy things in stores. Can you think of the last time that that happened, though, that you saw an ad and then went to a store and bought something?
It happens to me a lot lately on Facebook because I have a baby and I'm often commenting about baby-related things and looking for baby-related things.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's actually really horrible because I'm such a sucker right now because I'm like, this will make life better or that will be useful.
And Google probably knows about it. I don't know if Facebook does yet, though.
I'm sure Google knows because I am also a slave to Google's many services and you know, often I'm using them on multiple devices.
Google's hearing this right now going, yes.
Yes, excellent. And we have done our job.
Okay, my second number for you is 7 months.
Is that like the gestation period of a flamingo or something? I wish this were that show. Right.
7 months is the amount of time that IMSI, which was supposed to be the nice Reddit, had its website open to the public before shutting down completely. This was a startup, IMZY, that, I mean, it's telling that I had never heard of. It opened, it started 2 years ago, and the CEO used to be at Reddit. And after it closed down, after only 7 months in actual existence, they said, we were not able to find our place in the market.
I read about that yesterday, and something about that made me so sad. Like, people just want to be mean to each other online. That's so sad.
I know. Like, is this empirical proof that that's what the internet is actually for? That's terrible. Okay, what do you got for me?
Okay, $900.
I'm pretty sure is the amount that I might have spent on shampoo at the hair salon yesterday, but I bet that's not it.
It may have been that, but it is not. It is the amount that Uber may owe New York City drivers on average after saying that it accidentally underpaid them for about 2.5 years. It turns out that they took too big of a cut of the money that the drivers took in.
Oops.
It could be tens of millions of dollars, so that's a pretty big oops.
Rachel Metz, thank you so much for playing this game with me.
Thank you. It was so fun.
Now, a little more on that Google story. The company rolled out this new purchase tracking capability just this week. It raises some pretty obvious privacy concerns. The company says that, yes, it is connecting individual behavior to individual credit card purchases, but Google says it's using mathematical formulas to hide your actual identity behind anonymous strings of numbers, and that it only knows that you bought something, but not what you bought. It's worth noting here that Facebook, through contracts with third-party data brokers, also keeps tabs on your offline activities and habits and uses that information to build a more complete profile for advertisers to target. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.